Hello, everybody. Welcome to the TG Place podcast. I'm your host, Corey. With me today is James. How's it going, James?
Doing good here. How are we doing today, guys?
And Josh is also here. How's it going, Josh?
Hello, everyone. What's up?
So today we're going to talk about last year, all the magic stuff. So you can see behind me on this little green screen thingy, got all the sets. So nice. Thanks, Reddit, for the image.
Reddit's always got the good shit, man.
Yeah. So the first set released was January of last year. It was Dominaria Remastered. What did you guys think of that? And what would be like your grade, like, you know, like A, B, C, D, E, F?
I love it. I'm still buying packs. Dominaria Remastered right now. I'd say it's an A. I'm a big fan of Old Border. Brought back Old Border.
Mm-hmm.
Like different art. Two, I don't really like them reprinting the same art with the same Old Border. Kind of devaluates them, but fantastic cards, like all the tutors, like Urza's reprinted for the fifth time. Now he's like a $10 card.
Yeah. Which honestly, in some cases, is really good because there were some reprints that really needed to happen.
Yeah.
And we definitely got some of those in that set.
Yeah.
And we got new Praetors. We're always happy about that, right?
Well, not in Dominaria Remastered.
Or no, sorry, I was thinking of the next one.
Yeah.
I had myself.
It's like Dominaria Remastered, especially the draft format. You do still give them out as prizes. There's a lot of good reprints in there.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't happy with like the price point necessarily, and that it was January, and then immediately like less than a month later, like it's like 29 days or something. It was Phyrexia all would be one, so it feels like it didn't get enough time to experience the set.
Yeah.
So like that's my only knock against it is like release schedule. Like.
Yeah.
You know, so like that's why I give it like a B plus. Like.
Wizards is saying they're slowing down on their schedule, but I don't know. Here comes more.
I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah.
What, did you like Dominaria Remastered? What's your grade, James?
I'd say, yeah, now that I'm not thinking of freaking, I was thinking of, I think either Merge the Machine or Phyrexia. Dominaria Remastered is really good for a lot of reasons. I'd say it was like a solid, like, B plus or A somewhere in there, I'd say. Like, it was pretty good. It's definitely started the year off with a bang, like, I'd say. Like, got a lot of people really excited about the game. And it was, if I remember right, it was a pretty decent draft format. Because you did some drafting for that, didn't you, Corey?
Yep. Well, yeah, I think we played one at Josh's too, right?
Yeah, I think we did. All of us did. Yeah, and I had a lot of fun with that, so can't complain too much.
Yeah. Then was Phyrexia All We Run, like I said, like not even a month later.
Yeah.
February 10th. That was like the poison mechanic, right? The toxic.
Toxic.
Yeah, that was the toxic stuff.
Lots of proliferate, which was nice.
Yeah.
I feel like they missed. There was a couple colors that weren't like balanced.
Right.
So it was like an okay draft format for a while, but it wasn't like the greatest. Like as soon as the like arena released their next thing, I was like, all right, I'm done with this.
I am not a huge fan of like poison and infect and whatnot, so that makes me knock this one down a little bit.
We did get some new Praetors, like in all of the
we did sets, like,
so
yeah, which was cool to see for sure. Because was this let's see, was All Will Be One, was that Shieldred? I can't remember. Either that or Elishnorn. I think Elishnorn was later. That was like March of the Machine, I think.
It was Elishnorn was the Mother of Machines one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The double ETB.
No, yeah. ETB that was really good. I think Shieldred was in this one, if I remember right, which was cool to see.
Dominaria United. That's the one you're thinking about.
There were Praetors. Okay, I was right.
United.
The Dominaria of the year before.
Yeah.
Oh, year before. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, Dominaria United was the new Dominaria set. Remastered was the remastered all the cards from the all of the Dominaria sets.
Right. Okay.
reprints.
That's why I was confused. Reprints.
I'll be one that's decent for me. Brought us our Atroxa Grand Unifer, like the one of the best cards in the world.
Which is now just destroying so many things right now. So great. And a lot of people are not happy about that card, but for other reasons.
I love it. Other than that, I wasn't too stoked about like the mechanics of the game. I didn't really care too much about draft or anything.
Yeah, but the corrupted thing was like, okay, you're just trying to get them corrupted. And then...
Yeah. I did like
corrupted. Yeah, there was some powerhouses for vintage, like the Atraxa.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, Atraxa is really good.
The story buildup was freaking hype, though. Oh my gosh, right now, like, this was so good. Phyrexia took over, like, everyone was out.
Yeah, the storyline was like the lore, yeah.
So hype.
Definitely.
Like, I'd probably give it, like, I don't know, C plus B, like a B maybe, C plus to a B. Like, I didn't hate it, I just wasn't, like, my favorite.
Yeah, I'd give it, like a C plus, I think. Like, more for the lore and stuff. As far as, like, the mechanics and stuff went, I was not a fan of that personally. So
Fast Lands getting a borderless treatment was nice. Yeah, I like that.
That was nice. Yeah, for
what
sure.
Would you grade it, Josh?
Probably C plus. Okay. Not too high on it.
Then we had the arena only set, Shadows of Innistrad Remastered. I don't know if you guys even played that, but I played all 4 weeks of it, which was awesome because it was basically Shadows of Innistrad redone with Eldritch Moon and Shadows of Innistrad cards. But what they did is that the bonus sheet cards, because it was digital only, every week or 2 weeks, whatever it was like four sections, they changed what the bonus sheet cards was. So the 1 week was like, oh, it was all like flashback cards, you know, so you get like Snapcaster Mage and stuff like that. And the other one was all like big creatures, so it was like Gristlebrand and shit like that. And then another one was just like vampires or something, and then like tribal, and then one other thing.
But it
was kind of cool because it was like you could keep drafting, and every, you know, couple week or two, it would feel different because one card in the slots would be changed, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That definitely gives it a different twist then, right?
Yeah, like I thought it was very fun. Very fun to draft on Arena. And so, like, I probably did. That might have been the one that I drafted the most, that and Lord of the Rings. So,
yeah, you love Shadows of Innistrad. I miss Shadows of Innistrad, that whole, like, block. I came in Alara, so I was just like, I don't have the nostalgic for it.
Well, and the cool thing is, you know, that put Gristlebrand into Arena, which now that Timeless is a thing, I played Jank Reanimator, and I was reanimating Gristlebrand, and how many people that once I pull it off on, like, turn five, because there's no reanimator or anything, so I'm, like, unburial rights-ing the Gristlebrand, and then they just scoop. It's just like, okay.
Yeah, it's hard to do. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Timeless coming out, I'm pretty stoked about that. That came out pretty recently, but another good thing in 2023.
So yeah, as a digital only set, you know, I'd give that like an A as a digital only set. Be a little bit cool if they would have had a paper version too, just to get some reprints out.
But Shadows was a fun set to begin with, so if I actually played it, I'd probably rate it pretty high too, because I like Innistrad. Innistrad's a cool plane.
Yep. No comment for me. I don't play Arena
too much. So then, next was March of the Machine, which was April 21st.
There was a lot of hype in this. This is kind of the set that really shook up the lore, at least. So
yeah, that was the whole build-up. Which was
really interesting.
Yeah, it was like the conclusion of the battle and stuff, basically. Or the final battle. Is this where they added the battles, too?
Yes,
the battles.
We had the new magic card type.
Which, that was kind of interesting, and there are some really freaking good ones, too.
Yeah, I think at first it played pretty good with the battles and stuff, and then later on as you drafted, you realized, okay, it's really, like, a waste of time to even attack the battle. Like, I'm only going to play it if I want the main effect, or if the other side is so good it's worth playing.
You need to be Gruul.
Yeah. So, like, eventually you just played aggro and was like, whatever, I'm just going to play zero battles.
Yeah.
So, but you know, it was solid. I played it quite a bit. It's probably like a B to me.
Yeah, I call it a pretty solid B. Mostly for the lore, but there were also some really good cards too. So yeah, I could definitely get behind all that stuff.
The lore was great. I loved how it like built up all into this entire place. I don't know. I might also have a special spot in my heart because this was when we went to MagicCon and drafted a bunch of it.
Oh yeah, we just kept dominating. That was another thing. After MagicCon, I was kind of sick of the set already because we played it nonstop for like a whole weekend and just kept winning. Yeah.
I just did Commander at MagicCon, so I didn't have that
problem. Yeah, but me and Josh, I think we went 2-1 or better in every event. Like, God 2-1 damn, or undefeated in every event.
Breached
and then the same with me and my wife when we played. It was 2-1 or better in every event.
Yeah.
Which
is pretty awesome, for sure.
I love the whole
I mean, it's a cool set overall. Like, it kind of had everything.
I love the variants that you can get, the whole callbacks from all the different multiverses and, like, the different... creatures all coming together. The partners.
Oh yeah, they did the mashups too. That was cool. Like Thalia and
Gilron. Yeah. Partners.
Some of those were absolutely broken.
Yes, they are.
Like, holy crap. Because like, yeah, let's just take two cards that are already good and then just make them one really, really busted card. Because that's what a lot of them were. I mean, some of them were just like, oh, it's a silly like 3/12 that does nothing, but it costs like 4. It's like, well, I mean, that's still pretty good. But then there was like some of the other ones that were just had ridiculous, like literally both of like the keywords of like both cards just in one. It's just like, yeah, this is just insane. Yeah, there is some really, yeah, there is some good stuff.
Yeah, and then what was it? Everyone was bitching about Breach the Multiverse in 2 out of Gen, because it basically just won the game.
Yeah, it literally won the game. Yeah. Win card. Like, it's, yeah, you just play it. Yeah, it's a cool set.
Yeah, I loved it. I would rate it a B+.
Yeah, I'd say it's a high B.
Then we had, honestly, probably the worst set of the year, the March of the Machine Aftermath, which was the Epilogue boosters. So they were what, like 8 card packs?
Yeah.
And people ordered so much product that, you know, eventually you got to just sit there and buy the packs for cheap and open them.
Yeah.
Which is what I did, and I opened a bunch of Nisa's and stuff.
I mean, this set was necessary mostly for the lore, but there really wasn't a whole lot of substance to it. So
I don't even remember what the lore was for the Aftermath.
It was basically all the, yeah, what happened, like the Planeswalkers lost their spark and all that stuff.
Yeah. Which is also
It wasn't even draftable. Like, it's just the Epilogue booster to open. Like, that's it. Just
had a story, like, released.
And there was only like 50 different cards. I'm like, why don't you just tag that into the main set or do a re-release of the main set?
They could have like just like done like a different set booster of Marge of the Machine or something like that. Of opening just up Aftermath.
Opening up,
I did that with like several other sets, like what was the one that had the inventions again? Fucking forgot the name of it.
Kaladesh,
yeah. It's like they could have just did something like that. Like the inventions were just like an additional like what 50 cards of just all the good artifacts. They could have just tacked that on to March of the Machine. I don't know why they had to make a whole other set of it, you know?
Had tons of variants, and they had serialized cards, and there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
But they didn't need to do the Aftermath. Opening up duplicates in an 8-card pack was just so dumb.
It's depressing, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'd probably give it like a D. The only upside to it is like you could get them for cheap, and there were some cool cards, but... You're just going to F it? It's F. F for Josh, D for me.
I don't know if I could call it an F, because F would be like MTG 30. That deserves an F. This is like a D-. Like, it's not like a blatant money grab or whatever, but it there wasn't a lot to it, though, which was unfortunate.
Then we had Lord of the Rings, which was one of my favorites. I think they nailed it.
I think so, too.
Lots of cards being played in Vintage because they're so good. The Commander decks were awesome. The main set was awesome. I had like a 70% win rate in draft because I played it so much. It was nuts.
This is like one of the few sets I actually did play a draft or two in, and it was really freaking fun. Like, it was just, I'm not like my Uncle Jeff, who like literally like read the Silmarillion, or whatever the hell it's called, and knows every single thing about Lord of the Rings. But, you know, I know a fair amount about the books and the movies and whatnot, and I'm definitely a fan. And they really did this set well. Like, the lore was amazing. The cards were really cool. The, you know, just like what they were able to include, like from the books and the movies, was just amazing. And like, how the mechanics worked and, you know, all that stuff. Like having Shadowfax actually having the definition of haste on it was just
fantastic.
An incredible touch. It's just things like that. Like, they honestly couldn't have done much better, I think. They did so well. The art was amazing too. It's like, I don't have a lot of bad things to say about Lord of the Rings set.
This is the one time Universes Beyond actually did so well. Like, it meshes with Magic lore.
Exactly.
Like, it just, it understands. For when we first heard about this, like, years ago, we were like, oh my God, a full set of Universes Beyond. That's, you're crazy. That's not a secret lair. And honestly, I couldn't have imagined any other way. Like, it's so good. Lord of the Rings was so good. We were hyped at my place, just always playing Lord of the Rings music, just like doing it for weeks.
They had the chase one of one ring, so everyone that got a collector's pack was like, oh, am I gonna get it? Am I gonna get it?
So that was honestly a cool little aspect to it, you know? Like, that it just made it more fun to open the packs. Like, I wasn't opening packs trying to, you know, get one like we did for freaking BFZ, trying to find the goddamn Expo lands. But, like, you know, it's just like a fun little, you know, ooh, it could be in here. You know?
Brilliant move.
It was fun. It was just good.
I honestly have heard so many people starting Magic for the first time just because of Lord of the Rings.
Right. Because they like the books, they're like, why not try the game, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it's a solid A, like, easy.
Yeah, that's like an A+ for me.
Yeah, that's like definitely one of the best sets of the year. Just easily.
A little scared for
all around.
Universes Beyond. You got it right once.
That one was just a really good one for them to do, just because, like, yeah, it's set in the right kind of universe that works well with MTG. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was kind of a no-brainer. But some of the other ones are like, eh, I don't know.
Well, yeah, it was the same with like D&D. Like, we knew that was
exactly
good because,
of course, because I mean, it's fantasy based. Why wouldn't it be good?
Baldur's Gate was good.
Yeah.
So next up, we got the one that, you know, was a little overpriced, hyped up, you know, and then there was another set again, like right freaking after the next month. So Commander Masters.
Yeah, not so great there.
Commander Masters, the cards themselves, amazing.
Yeah.
A 10 out of 10 set, so good. It's just their starting box price was $300.
It was obnoxiously expensive.
Dude, no, like, that's a draft box. $300.
Yeah, if it would have been like, even what was Timesprawler Mastered? Like 220 or something?
Yeah, something around
like
there.
Like a lot of the Master sets hit like 220-ish, 250.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
So if it was like in that range, fine.
Yeah,
but like, no problem. It's at $300, it's like I can't even like draft this at home, and I have to draft a whole commander deck. So like,
yeah, it's like good luck.
It's not even like traditional draft format.
I hope you have like $1 million. Like, yeah, that's just
it is. You know, there is a lot of hits in there. The cards kind of retain their value a little bit because not a lot of people opened it because it was so expensive.
Yeah, which. Yeah, that makes sense, but
it is, you know, easier to
if you miss at all, it's just sad. You just feel so bad about yourself if you don't hit like anything good and you spent $300 freaking dollars. It's like, no. That's just
Yeah, it's definitely better just to open like one or two packs, I think.
Yeah, than to just buy a whole freaking box. Which is kind of counterintuitive because usually in the past it's like, yeah, get a box because you'll get something good. Like, you know, back when they did like EMA and whatnot, like, yeah. You know, you pull a box and you'll pull like a freaking, you know, crypt or something. You know?
So, ooh. Yeah. Like, design-wise, I think it was good. Price-wise was not. The
execution was...
The release of it was not great.
Yeah. It was like literally
I'd probably give it like a C-ish. It was like okay.
Yeah. If it was like $100 and some less, it would have been an easy B at least. But yeah, it's like a C minus for me.
It dipped down to 184 around like November ish. Now people realize it's a little low. It's back up to 240 at the moment.
That's probably where it started at.
Yeah, that's like where it should have been, honestly.
There's so many memes. I remember people watching, like Sheldon was just like saying, "Oh, I'm super hyped for this mythic." They revealed the mythic and it was just like some random Kraken. And it's like, dude, really? Like, this is a $300 box and you're showing a $1 Kraken. He's like, "I love this card, dude."
Yeah, that would be the mythic that you open a bunch of times and you're just like, really?
You're hyping up
dollar the box and I opened the dollar one.
And it dies to Doomblade.
It was so silly.
Just feels so bad.
What's your overall grade for that, Josh?
With the set itself, I would say like it's probably like a good A minus B plus, but the whole like memes, the delivery and stuff probably bumps it down to C plus, B minus.
Yeah, that's pretty fair.
And then next was a set I was super, super, super hyped for, Wilds of Eldraine.
Really good. Really, really good set. Was excited about this set when we first heard about it because Throne of Eldraine was a really fun set to play. And that was, I think, the last set that we did the pre-release for, because we actually went out and did the pre-release for Throne. Because this was
Me and you together, yes.
This is like pre-COVID.
I do almost every one, but yeah.
So I haven't done a pre-release in a while. So I knew, like, you know, because that was a freaking blast. And I was like, oh, you know, Wilds is going to be amazing. And it really was. It was a great set. There was, like, the lore was there. The flavor was amazing. The cards were so cool. It's just, it fit into, like, the, you know, Eldraine plane that they've kind of developed really, really well. And it also kind of had the, you know, you kind of saw what happened because then it also fit into the story of like March the Machine and whatnot. So you kind of saw what happened after the fact of that too. So you kind of saw how the overarching story is affecting the planes, which was also an interesting kind of, you know, look into it as well.
Yeah, I got my Sir Ginger. So there we go.
Yep. There's the cards were
good. The draft format was fun, just because of the fact you could splash multiple colors pretty easily.
Yeah, it was easy to build.
And then they had the off color adventure cards, so you could play like just half of it if you wanted in a deck. So it was pretty fun to draft.
The mainland's really good.
I'd probably give it like a B plus. Eventually it got old, but it was fun.
Yeah, it's like a high B. Easy. The gluttonous whatever I can't even remember the name of the card that
the devouring sugar mother that eats all the candy.
That card is so cool. Yeah, just stuff like that. Just the set was really cool.
I think I overhyped this set for myself. Like, I loved Throne of Eldraine. Like, they had like the fairy tales that you can actually like see and relate to, and then I saw this set and I just really couldn't they went like the magic lore way that with like Rowan and Ken and like this whole their story instead of like the fairy tale stories where I'm like looking at
because it was kind of supposed to be like we've been to Eldraine the city the air city area what is in the wilderness of Eldraine.
Yeah, I might have overhyped it for myself. I wasn't too huge.
I overhyped it a little bit, but I still thought it was pretty good. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't as good as the original Throne to me, but it was still good.
Original Throne was probably better.
It had some broken stuff too, so I was expecting to be broken cards all around, and it wasn't. It was balanced. So,
set was balanced.
All right, so what would you guys give that? Did you say?
That's like a B plus.
I would say C plus.
Okay, and then we had the Doctor Who Commander decks in October, which flavor wise, great, fantastic,
incredible. Yeah.
Also, I really liked them.
Absolutely broken some of the cards they made.
Yeah, that was. Lord. That was the thing I was going to say, is like, you pretty much have to buy all the commander decks if you like, want some of the cards, because like everybody wins and stuff is just like busted.
Even if you don't like Doctor Who, like you are still like, you still have to buy some of the cards because they're just strictly better than some of the, you know, old school cards that, you know, staples that you'd play in Commander. Yeah. Like Everyone Lives. Like, yeah, that's crazy. You know, stuff like that. Like 10th Doctor in a suspend deck. Insane. Just your clock, you're spinning down all of your stuff just all the time. It's like, how do you not play that? Like, there's just so many, you know, different deck archetypes that were completed by this set.
Yeah.
So it was really hard to ignore it.
We also did like a pre-con battle night, and they all are pretty balanced. I feel like they're pretty fair together. Mm-hmm. Like even like the deck that I had that was like, oh, I'm cheating stuff in, but there was nothing like super good to cheat in. So I'm like, oh, if I edit this with like some bomb cards to put in for free, this could be really good. Like,
oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know Doctor Who, not a huge fan. I honestly really tried to ignore it. Didn't really want it, but dang it. Gavin Verhaeghe took himself and made a fantastic set of cards. I finally played it and looked at it. The mana base is there. Like, they went through the roof for this one, and I mean, I don't care for Doctor Who. I don't know it, and it's a good set. Like, yeah. Finally came around to it.
Like, I think, you know, Corey and I kind of talked about this in the past. How we were pretty skeptical about this one because we're like, how on earth are they gonna, you know, make this work in Magic? Like, you know, this is very outside of like you know, like Lord of the Rings or Baldur's Gate or something that really fits into MTG. This is like way out in left field somewhere. And honestly, they didn't do too bad. Like, they kind of pulled it off.
Yeah, some of them have some good flavor wins too, like Dinosaurs on the Spaceship.
Yeah, like that's just amazing. That's a hilarious card.
Screwdriver, it's an artifact.
Or like, what is it? History All at Once, or whatever the heck that card was called. Like, that was just silly, and it was really good. Like, they're good, and like the effects are good. So it's just like, yeah, you know, it was just fun to play.
So overall, yeah, I'd probably give that a B. Like, the price point was like double a regular Commander deck, but it was good.
Yeah, you got a little bit of a premium, but yeah, still, yeah, solid B, easy.
Yeah, I'll give it a B.
Yeah.
Then we had the re-release of Lord of the Rings for the holiday. Came with the scene packs that had some exclusive cards you could only get in the scene packs.
Gotcha.
I ended up opening them just because a couple of those cards are really bonkers. But
I didn't really participate in this one personally, so I don't really know a whole lot about it. It was just one of like, the little...
You know, it also made the original Lord of the Rings, you know, another print run so people could play more drafts of it.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Which was a great set. So overall, you know, it's just like whatever. It's a repeat of regular Lord of the Rings, basically.
Yeah, basically I already saw
it. Which was good.
Yeah.
And then one of the more recent ones here, Lost Caverns of Ixalan.
This set was awesome, honestly. There's no way around it. Like, that... Ixalan was a set that I didn't really play, like the original one, because I was kind of on hiatus from Magic when that came out back when. But yeah, like, this has just so much interesting stuff in it. Like, the dinos, of course, are amazing. There's also a bunch of different other tribes that we really don't see as much. Like, we saw pirates, we saw skeletons, we saw, you know, all like fungus, like all sorts of, you know, different things that like you don't see as much. And they got a lot of buffs.
Yeah, the first Ixalan was four tribes. It was definitely the vampires, the merfolk, the pirates and dinosaurs. And that was very tribal. Yeah. And this one wasn't super tribal, but it had all of them like participating. I think they nailed the flavor really, really well. They were talking about how they wanted to create like the Mayan culture and like put all of it all securely and nice, and I think it's beautiful. It's a beautiful set that they nailed it.
Yeah, I think the flavor is there and the cards are there. If you like dinosaurs, it's great. The draft format got really old for me fast though, just because eventually you narrow it down to like, okay, I'm playing like one of three or four decks, or I'm not playing the rest.
Yeah. It's
like these ones are so much better.
Yeah.
Because like the blue and the black cards are just so good, and red was very good.
Yeah.
You know,
and
then you had the red green dinos as well. So. But so it was cool. It was fun. There's also
the lands were really cool. I was happy to see those. Cool. Those lands are amazing.
And they did Discover, which is like a better Cascade.
they basically redesigned Cascade for the better, honestly. Because if you whiff on Cascade, you're kind of sad about it. Whereas here, you kind of had a choice of what you could do, which was that was a nice touch. Definitely.
But overall, I would probably give Ixalan like a B. I didn't play during the original one either. So.
Yeah, I'd say A minus. Like, I really liked it.
Cool B.
And then let's see. One of the last ones we have to talk about is Cons. They basically re-released the entire set of Cons on Arena. So basically, Explorer is basically Pioneer now because Fetches and Arena are in there.
Finally, which that's really good to see. They're finally fleshing out more of Arena's like backlog. Someday, maybe we can play Modern on Arena. That would be really nice. But until then, we have Pioneer, basically. So that's a decent substitute, I guess.
Still don't do every single card. I don't think they did every single card.
It's like 99%. Like it's dang close. But yeah,
it's real close. A
handful of cards aren't.
I'm pretty sure they also like admitted they don't want to go all the way back. Like, why they did Cons is that they said it was just kind of a shoe-in. They had Cons cards in the beginning. They were, like, beta testing with these, so they just kind of was like, okay, well, they're here. Let's just put them out. Like, pretty lazy. And they've said before they don't want to go back because it's too much work.
I don't know. Like, they probably won't do whole sets, but they keep doing... Because people keep buying them. Like, the historic anthologies are just random cards here and there. Mm-hmm. So they'll probably still do that, where, like, hey, we have this timeless format that's kind of like vintage. Let's add some really powerful cards.
Which, like, if they do that enough, like, maybe we will, you know, maybe not full on, like, Legacy or something like that, but maybe we could get close to, like, Modern, you know? Which I'd totally be happy with that. I would be very happy playing, you know, Modern.
Timeless actually kind of feels like Modern to me when I was playing it, because... you have a handful of busted cards from like vintage, like Channel and stuff.
Yeah.
But you don't have Power. You don't have like regular duels, but you have the Triomes and the Shocklands.
Yeah.
So,
which is very Modern like.
And you got, you know, Monkey. So.
So you can, you know,
kind of play like this. And Emrakul or Ulamog, all that stuff.
And play like. You know, like a mini show and tell or a mini reanimate or something like that.
I was really pumped for Cons on Arena just because I was like, oh, I want to change from Ixalan, and I liked the original Cons a lot. But going back to Drafted, I was like, okay, the draft formats now are so much more complex and faster paced. It's just a different feeling. It feels like you're going back and playing old school draft. I'm like, wait, you know, a 3-mana. 2/2 that flips into a 5/5 after morphing it that makes 2/1/1s is like really good in this set. you know, so you're playing like 5/6, like there's no like you're not playing 1s and 2 drops all day. It's like you're playing 3, 4, 5, 6 drops.
Yeah. So you're building your mana base and then playing bigger creatures. Yeah, different time.
And the fetches are terrible in the draft format. It's you just give them because it's good for constructed.
Yeah, you want them for your collection more than anything. But yeah, I'm as I said, always happy if they, you know, with them fleshing out, you know, more of their backlog. We'll see how far they really want to go. You know, we've said one thing, but I've done other things in the past. So hard to say, but as far as, you know, Cons, that was another set I didn't really play that much, so don't have as much insight on it personally.
All right, so my Corey's Crazy Card segment this week.
Corey's Crazy Card
is Winter Sky. So if you've never heard of this card, it's 1 red for a sorcery. You flip a coin. Target opponent calls heads or tails while the coin's in the air. If the flip ends up in your favor, it deals one damage to each creature and player. Otherwise, everybody draws a card. So it's okay, kind of silly and crazy. If you lose the flip, everybody draws. So people want you to lose the flip.
Yeah.
It's a cantrip.
Commander.
Oh, yeah. It's like free groove hug. Drawing all those cards, man.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
That's kind of funny.
James's Jungle.
All right, so for James's Jungle this week, we are doing a absolute staple for any green deck in, well, at least any creature-based, you know, big green deck in Commander. Tooth and Nail. It is 5 green for a sorcery, and it has choose one. Search the library for up to 2 creature cards, reveal them, put them into your hand, then shuffle, or put up to 2 creature cards from your hand onto the battlefield, and it has entwine 2, so then you can pay 9 and do both, which is usually what you do. And this card honestly wins games in green decks. Like, as long as it's not countered, you just like throw out your crater hoof or something and you trample over for a win.
Avenger of Zendikar, crater hoof.
Yeah, that's like the winning combination. Really hard to beat. Like, as long as I don't counter the spell, you're good to go.
Yep, fantastic. There's card.
Many, many green based decks that will play that. Mine definitely does, so.
I haven't seen it too lately. It is a pretty high spendy, but it is old school cool.
As long as you can ramp it up, like if you have like a cradle or, you know, something that ramps you a crap ton of mana and you can easily play it, then, you know, that's kind of the way to go.
All right, my jank combo for the day is a classic one. I'm sure people know this one, but I've always wanted to make it happen. Haven't made the commander deck quite yet, but Stuffy Doll.
Everyone loves
Stuffy Doll. 5 mana, 0/1, comes into play. You choose a player. That's not you, usually. He's indestructible. Whenever damage is dealt to Stuffy Doll, it deals that much damage to chosen player. Then you can tap him to deal 1 damage to himself. So then he would slap a player that you chose. The combo is Guilty Conscience. Just hilarious saying that Stuffy Doll has a guilty conscience. It's 1 white enchantment. Whenever enchanted creature deals damage, Guilty Conscience deals damage, that much damage to enchanted creature. So Stuffy Doll slaps someone, and he's like, oh, I feel guilty. He hits himself. But since he hits himself, he's going to deal that much damage to that player again. And then since he dealt damage to someone, he's going to hit himself again. And then he's going to slap him, and it...
So you kill the damage to the chosen player.
That's silly. Oh my gosh. That's disgusting.
That's a 2-card combo.
Giving Stuffy Doll a guilty conscience.
Wow. Doesn't even need a fork. That's disgusting. That's just gross, man.
Yeah. There's a lot of redundancy in this combo, too. Like, there's a bunch of other Stuffy Dolls and other things you could do.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of other things that do that. Yeah.
It's like Blasphemous Act or Star of Extinction, just board wiping. There's a deck. I just haven't constructed it quite yet. It's there.
You don't have enough hatefulness inside of your soul to create it yet?
Soon. I need the right commander, and I keep saying, like, this is the commander every single time I see something, but
yeah,
I haven't pulled the trigger.
That's fair.
All right, well, that's our show for today. If you want to support us, you can do so directly on Patreon. We have a bunch of cool levels there. We'll have that in the links below and everything, too. Also, if you want to order any of the cards or whatever, we have a TCG Player affiliate link, which you can let some know that we sent you over there, and it helps us out. And, you know, the last way is just, you know, plug the podcast to all your friends and everything, you know. Say, hey, I watched this cool podcast, you know, check it out. Comment on our YouTube videos and stuff. So say hi.
Yep. Any activity helps the algorithm, you know, the almighty algorithm. So any kind of activity is good. Yeah,
let us know what your favorite set of the last year was.
Yeah. definitely in the comments. Also, we got the website too that has everything on it. So the it's an easy way to check out all the podcasts, all of our other videos, and it also, I believe, has our links and what and you know some bios by ourselves as well. So check it out.
Yep. Bye. Please don't.
Bye. See ya.